no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, we started a series last week. I encourage you, if you missed it, go back and watch it online. All of our series and all of our teachings are online. They're free. We don't charge for them. On the website, there's a thing called the YouTube archive or YouTube channel. You can click on that. All of our messages are on there. We also have an audio podcast for people who like to listen to it on your phone. Maybe you can't watch it, but you can listen to it. There's also an audio podcast link on the website. You can click that and listen to any of our messages. They're in order, starting from the most recent going backwards, okay? On the YouTube channel, they're broken down by series title, so you can watch a whole series if you want to, okay? So we started that last week. This week, we're going to continue on. I want to say this week, and that is this, and that's point number one on your handout. You are not built for fear. You're just not built for it. It's not something that your body likes to do. Now, many people in the psychological field will tell you that it is healthy. And I will say this, God did create us to be expressive people because feelings and things like that are not supposed to just sit on us. There's a lot of times people, you know, now listen, it's not supposed to be expressed in certain in every way under the sun, though. Just because you say, well, it's just a healthy expression of the way I'm feeling right now. Not true. Listen, just because you're supposed to express it and get it off of you so it's not weighing you down doesn't mean you can express it however you want to. Well, I was just angry and I figured I would just tell somebody that they are everything I think they are. Well, now you got to get, you have caused them to go to the same place you just went to. And so we can't just express those things. But at the same time, you know, even though it is healthy to us for us to express things, you know, crying or if you're angry, all those things are, or even afraid, those things are meant to be expressed. However, we're not supposed to live there. And I got a quote here. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's from probably the greatest Methodist missionary that ever lived. His name was Dr. E. Stanley Jones. He says this, "I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air." A John Hopkins University doctor says, "We do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but that is a fact. But I, who am a simple man, a simple of mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, for faith and not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality." I'm telling you what, that guy could preach. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says some very powerful words here. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Go ahead and flip over to Philippians. We're going to hear what Paul has to say about this. Verse number six of Philippians chapter 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, these are two scriptures saying virtually the same thing, and both of them are talking and giving us a really powerful illustration that point to peace. They point to the peace of God, not just any peace. Jesus said it was his peace. Paul said it was the peace of God. What are they talking about? The peace of God coming upon you. Both of these are talking about that. Okay? If something can come upon you, that means also it can be taken away from you. You can actually throw it away from you. Okay? Not only can it be taken away from you and you can give it away, but it can certainly get up and run away on its own. All right? This word in the Greek word for peace is irene. All right? And it means quietness, rest. Now, this is not in a relationship between several people. Some people, you know, anybody have a family when you grew up and a lot of brothers and sisters and everybody fought all the time? Even Christians want to admit to it in church here, or else we need to open up the altars for, you know, lying. I didn't have any brothers and sisters. I did not. I was an only child. Shundai, hallelujah. I'm so happy about it now. When I was a kid, I hated it. But now, I don't have any drama. I don't have to worry about inheritance or anything. I'm getting everything. Hallelujah. My parents are probably watching right now. Mm-hmm. This is not just talking about peace in a house, like between siblings. It's not talking about you having a dispute with somebody else. That's not what it's talking about. This word peace is not even an attitude. I've heard it taught that way. A peace is an attitude. It's not. That's not what this word means. This word means a state or a time or a season. It is actually a way of living. It's not just an attitude. You know, an attitude is something you got to put on and decide to do. This word peace, when Jesus said, peace I leave with you, what was he saying? I'm fixing it so you can live this way all the time. When Paul said the peace of God will pass all understanding, will guard your heart and mind, that means it should be guarding your heart and mind all the time. It should be a place that you live in. Okay? It is a way of living. It also means freedom from disturbances. This one right here was the best one. It is to be safe in mind, body, and estate. That's what the word peace means. Now, this can only come, peace can only come when fear is at bay. Both of these scriptures are talking about that if you want to have peace, then you have to do something about fear first. People are like, I'm freaking out, I need that peace. Somebody pray for me for peace right now. Well, are you going to do anything about your fear first? What happens when fear is not held at bay? Well, then the peace of God that passes all understanding goes off guard duty. If Jesus said, I give it to you, right before he said that there, look at what he says. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it. Let not your hearts be troubled. What's he talking about? In order for me to, for my peace that I just gave you to work, you have to turn your heart into, I'm not going to fear. Both of these. Paul said the same thing. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be. Do I sound like I'm in a hurry today? I am. I'm trying to get you out of here early because we got a big night tonight. Okay. Let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. What's that mean? Don't be anxious, come on, or about anything. Anxious also means fear. All right? All right? When you hold fear at bay, it causes the state of quietness, the state of rest, the state of safety of the mind, body, and estate to be able to function. When you give way to fear, it turns all that upside down, shakes it all up, makes it all leave. When we live in a state of fear, we are releasing what scientists call the stress hormones. Anybody ever heard that term? I know a real popular one they like to talk about a lot is cortisol. Anybody ever heard of cortisol? Now, I want to say this as I'm getting into this. Our very own James and Loretta, Justin, have a coaching system that they help other businesses and other things, you know, people in, with things in their life and stuff like that. And this week, in their weekly email that went out, was about the biology of fear and how it works in your body and things like that. And if you didn't get it, on the top of the handout, there is a link that's posted there. If you're following along in the, I was going to put it on the Bible app thing, and I forgot to do it. So, but if you want to do it, it's justincoaching.com, and you can subscribe to that. I'm just going to tell you right now, I read it, and I'm trying not to preach it this morning. It was good. Good stuff. And there's a video in there from Loretta. It's good stuff, okay? So, as we talk about, and we're getting into this, when you are giving your way to fear, you're releasing stress hormones in your body. And over time, stress hormones are okay for a few seconds because that's what, you know, gives you the jolt to get past something. They call it the flight or fight syndrome, okay? But you know what? You can become addicted to that and live in that. And there's a lot of people that are living that way all the time. Well, what happens if you live that way all the time where you're, you know, just in adrenaline all the time? It's affecting your heart, your blood vessels, and your muscles. Your body's putting out sugar so that you can burn it real fast in case you need it. Well, what happens if it's not getting burned up? Where does all that go? Well, according to Christian cognitive neuroscientist Dr. Caroline Leaf, and I'm telling you, her books are exceptionally good. If you ever want to read about your mental health from a Christian, spirit-filled standpoint, it's going to tell you the truth and not just give you a bunch of drugs. Caroline Leaf is the bomb. You need to look her up. But according to her, if you live in that kind of stress, hormones living in your body all the time because you're worried and you're in fear, you're causing your blood cells and your actual physical cells to change shapes. Instead of being nice and rounded off where nothing can stick to them, they start becoming rigid and jagged and sticky, and other cells can then attach themselves to them way more easily. Wow, it's real quiet in here. Almost fearful. She said this is the number one cause of stress-related disease. Bacteria, virus, and things like cancer can easily stick to a cell that's not shaped the right way or has been reshaped because of stress hormones. This is why when you meet somebody who is constantly living in fear, they look older than they are. You ever met somebody and you say, hey, how old are you? And they go, you know, I'm 37. And you're like, I thought you was my age. I'm almost 50, so. Somebody sent me a meme of this older fella. He had to have been 85, you know, 89, somewhere, 9. He's old. Older. And, you know, super wrinkled. All of his hair is gone. And, you know, he looks like he's been smoking for 50 years, and he's just super deep, you know, that real wrinkly, and he's smiling at the camera, and he's missing a couple teeth, and his what teeth are left are really filed down, and it says, pastoring? Oh, it's great. No, not stressful at all. I'm 32. Listen. If you talk to somebody who lives that way, not only do they start looking older, but they start telling you about physical things that are wrong with them. Because why? It easily attaches itself to them. They're fighting some form of sickness. They're fighting something all the time. And they almost glorify it, and it actually is a reciprocal circle because it's feeding back onto their fear, and their fear is actually making them sicker, and then that makes them even freak out more, and it constantly is just making it worse. Now, I want to say this because that doesn't mean that we ignore everything and that we don't have a concern about some things. You know, I spent a week in the hospital in August, and I wasn't afraid. But I was concerned. I had a knowledge of what was going on. I acknowledged what was going on. I actually kind of talked about it a little bit. Somebody asked me, said, where do you feel like you're missing God? And I said, I don't feel like I'm missing God anywhere. I feel like this is an attack from the devil, and this is what my faith is for, is to ward off something like this. And so it's not like when I say don't be afraid, it's not we ignore. And I got to say that because there are faith people that act like if I'm not going to be afraid of it, then I can just ignore it and act like it's not there. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, whoever says unto this mountain, meaning I have to turn and look at that mountain and say, you, that specific mountain right there, come on, cancer? I have to speak to that mountain. Come on. I have to say, fear and anxiety? Some people just say, oh, I'm not. I had this conversation with somebody the other day. They were talking to their father-in-law or something, and he had the sniffles or something. They said, man, I'm so sorry you're sick. And he goes, oh, I'm not sick. Well, the green coming out of your nose is begging to differ with you. And I want to say this because this is important for faith people. The Bible, well, they say, well, the Bible says call those things that be not as though they were. True. But most faith people are calling things that are not, that are as though they are not. Just lost everybody right there. Faith people will say, I'm calling something that is as though it is not. And that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture says, call those things that are not as though they were. If I'm calling something that is, then I would say, I'm not sick. Well, guess what I'm hearing? Sick. Now, some people are going to say, well, you're splitting hairs. End of the day, I would rather be calling something that's not as though it was. What is not, though it is? Healing. Guess what I'm hearing? Healing. I'm healed. Not, I'm not sick. Why? Because I'm telling myself, I'm hearing it, sick, 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 sick. I'm hearing that over and over and over again. I would rather say I'm healed. So I'm saying all that to say, we don't ignore things just because we're not afraid of things. I watched a lady go right into the ground. Helped do the funeral with a tumor this big on her chest. It was huge. And she would sit there and tell you, I don't have a tumor. As she rested her arm on it. She would not acknowledge. She wouldn't go to the doctor. She wouldn't have anybody check it out. She wouldn't let anybody tell her anything except, I don't have a tumor. Instead of saying, I'm healed. Healed of what? What do you know you're healed from? The guys in the back are freaking out right now because this is not in my notes. What do you know you're healed from? So I don't ignore things just because I'm not afraid of things. That's extra. Doesn't cost anything. You can put something in the offering if you want to. All right, so. E.H. Harriman said this, it is never safe to look into the future with eyes of fear. Mr. $20 bill himself, Andrew Jackson, said, never take counsel of your fears. All right? Fear is not only the gateway to other sins, it is also the gateway to sickness and anything else bad that you can think to come into your life. All right? Now, this is important because this is the main point I wanted to make today. In the world that we live in, there will be more opportunity to fear than not fear. That's the second point on your handout. There will be more opportunity to fear. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 4, Jesus is talking here. Really important. He says, and Jesus answered them. One of the disciples had asked him about the future. And he answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Hello, hello. Is that happening right now? Now look at what his next words are. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then he goes back into his description of the future. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What? That is happening. Right before we moved, it was starting. Oklahoma? But that's not California. There will be earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, Jesus just gets done telling us this is going to get bad. He talks about great deception on the earth, wars and rumors of wars, nation would rise against nation, famine, pestilence, earthquakes. Man, he's talking about, and if you keep reading, it just gets worse. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but Jesus starts talking about some really bad stuff going down. And his response, he actually gives his response to this right in the middle of the description of the bad. He says, "See to it that you are not troubled." Another translation says, "Stop being alarmed." When I hear about that, "See to it that you are not frightened or alarmed," is another translation. Now, I want to say something here because this is, and this is going to hit some of you hard. I don't mean it, but you know what? It does not say blame whoever is sitting in the Oval Office. And I'm just going to tell you, Republicans blamed Obama for everything. Now it's flip-flop, and Trump is the devil for everything. Let me tell you something. No, either one of them were not. It's going to happen no matter who's sitting in there. Your man sitting in there, this is going to happen. Come on, somebody. Your favorite is sitting in there, this is going to happen. And all of you that get all up in arms and want to go to war against somebody that's sitting in a political office, you need to turn your mouth off. And you need to realize you're responding in fear right now to what Jesus said is going to happen, and there ain't nothing that you can do about it. A few years ago, when Obama was in office, I would almost cringe talking to some of my pastoral friends because they gave him down the road. Just talked about him like he was the Antichrist. Boy, it's awful quiet in here. I'm hearing the same thing now. People talking about Trump the same way. And some of you are like, "Well, he is." I hear it all the time. We need to stop talking about who's in leadership and start praying for who's in leadership, because you're talking out of fear. That's the only reason you're talking about bad about them. Politicians are not going to solve this. The end is going to come because Jesus said it's going to come, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. Except what? Live fear-free of it. If North Korea goes south, guess what? I'm not afraid. What if it comes and blows up the West Coast or the East Coast? What if this? What a great way to live your life, isn't it? What if? I'm not going to be afraid of that. Do I want it to happen? Not at all. Not at all. But I'm not going to sit around and cry and wring my hands and be worried about it. Why? Jesus told me not to. He said, "Don't be afraid." Notice that he didn't say, "Go hide in the house." He didn't say stop talking to people who don't believe from the same political point of view that you have because you're afraid of them now. Now flip on the news and listen to a different narrative. They don't believe like this, they're the problem. It's happening every day. What are they doing? They're causing more fear to rise up about you and your neighbor. Notice it doesn't say retreat from the world and become a hermit and a recluse. But people are doing it Because they're afraid. It says, stop. Jesus said in the one translation, stop being alarmed. This is not some one person's fault. This is something that's being set in motion because of one thing. Sin entered the world, and the end is coming. It's coming, and I'm not afraid of it. All right? See that you're not frightened or alarmed. Now, I don't see him in here now. There he is. Peyton, my youngest, has taken to lately jumping out from behind stuff and scaring the living daylights out of you. Now, if you were here last week, you heard I have sowed that into my life because I did that to my grandma. So I had it coming. But that kid, every time you turn around, the other day I walked out of my bathroom and I had a suitcase sitting out in the little hallway of our bedroom there, the suitcase sitting there, and I stepped out of there, and all of a sudden the flap of the suitcase flies open, and I was like, oh my God, and I'm kicking like this. I kicked him 3 times before I realized it was him. And he just laughs his head off. Now, y'all think it's funny till he does it to you. He's so small, he just disappears. Then all of a sudden, it's like, ha-ha! And you're like, hi-ya! It's a rat in my house or an alligator in my house. I mean, he gets Preston all the time. I don't know if he's got enough guts to get his mommy, but he has taken to jumping out and scaring people. Now, here's the thing. If we see him, like if, you know, we were walking into Wawa the other day and he was hiding behind one of them A-frame stand things. And I walked in and Preston was coming in behind. I knew he was going for Preston. So I was pointing like this so Preston would know he's there. You know why? Because once you know, listen to me, once you know the threat is there, it's not scary anymore. It's not nearly, you don't jump nearly as much when somebody jumps out and goes, ah! If you know that it's there. Listen to me, folks. This is why Jesus said these things. It's not so that everybody can go, oh my God, the bad stuff's coming. No, it was Jesus going, hey, there's a scary thing right there. Just ignore it. Come on, somebody. First scripture I read, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? Because you're with me. And when Jesus is speaking here, he's not saying, hey, everybody, it's going to be, you know, flowery beds of ease, as Brother Hagin used to say. It's going to be flowery beds of ease. As long as your politician's in office, you'll be good. No, he's saying it's going to be bad, but guess what? It's right there. Just ignore it. Hey, coming up over here, there's something right there, but just ignore it. He's going to jump out and go, rah, but don't worry about it. I got you. You already know it's there. It's just the devil. Come on. It's just a man trying to do something. It's just, come on, a corrupt politician. It's just, come on, it's just the darkness of the world. It's nothing that can comprehend me. I am light, and light can't comprehend me. It's no big deal. And in the face of all this, in that scripture we read there, he actually says when all this bad stuff's going on that the gospel will actually flourish. Well, who preaches the gospel? Come on, somebody. Who's the one preaching the gospel? Well, it's my favorite preacher on TV. No, it's all of us. Come on, the body of Christ. The Bible says it's been given to you the responsibility. Come on. The responsibility of the message of reconciliation has been given to you. So when bad things are going on, he says, hey, there's somebody behind that sign right there getting ready to jump out and scare you. Don't worry about it. That means, guess what? An opportunity, come on, is before you to rise up and thrive because the gospel lives inside of you. And when it comes out, somebody's going to change around you. More opportunities, though, Pastor. That bothers me. I mean, it bothers me that, you know, things are going on. Listen to me. This last week was a terrible week. It's terrible. I don't care what party affiliation. Everybody that gets a bomb in the mail, that's terrible. Well, you know, I mean, those are idiots, and I don't like them, and they just blah, blah, blah. Good. I'm glad you feel that way. That's your opinion. But would you like to get one in the mail? Absolutely not. What is that? It's the spirit of fear trying to take root in the United States of America. It's a terrible week. But guess what? Jesus told us this, it was coming. It'll get worse than that. Oh, don't say that, Pastor. I didn't. Jesus said it. You can take it up with him. It's going to get worse. You're going to walk around a corner and there's going to be somebody bigger and badder than Peyton jumping out from behind to scare the living, you know what, out of you. But Jesus is sitting there going, if you listen to me, it's right there. He can't touch you. He can't lay a finger on you. All he can do is jump out and try and get you to believe him more than you believe me. Don't believe him. Believe me. I'm right here with you. Come on. I'm walking through the valley, come on, somebody, of the shadow of death with you. And I don't have to be afraid. It may look overwhelming and it may look scary, but I'm not scared of you. I saw you coming. A couple years ago, we went to Halloween Horror Nights. And that was my first time ever going. And some people would go, why would you do that? Because I wanted to experience, you know, the whole Florida experience. And so we went through, you know, the first one was pretty good. It was like an old Egyptian mummy type thing. And we went through the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I was like, oh, God, help me. I'm too old for this. I mean, it was, but listen to me. The longer we went through the night, the less I was jumping. Because everything makes you jump there. People run up behind you with chainsaws and start them right behind you. And all kinds of stuff. Clowns jumping out from behind dumpsters. And every house you go into, something going on. But listen to me. The more you know it's coming, the less it scares you. And that's the whole point behind Jesus saying, there's more coming. It's going to get worse. But you don't have to be afraid. I am with you. Now, some people might be sitting here today and go, well, that's great. That's a good encouraging word. I want to know how that I can live that way, Pastor Brent. Because, you know, there's days that go by and I just forget it. And I'm afraid. You will want to be here next week because we're going to actually tell you how to live fear-free. Doesn't mean you don't get scared. Doesn't mean you don't get concerned. But I am not going to be governed and ruled by it. And you'll want to be here next week for it, all right? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, thank you for our time together today. I pray that you will help us to see how much you're showing us. Lord, let us listen and become sensitive to your spirit so that when you point to what's behind a covering, Lord God, we see it coming and we know that you showed it to us for a reason and that you have our backs and that you're covering us with your wings and you're protecting us and keeping us safe. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to walk in fear. We walk in faith. And Lord God, we walk away from these things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know everybody here today. I want to give you an opportunity to get rid of the greatest fear of humanity, and that is, what's going to happen when you die? What is going to happen when you die? Some people say, well, I don't know. It's a great mystery. Well, wouldn't it be great to walk out of here tonight with that fear alleviated? It doesn't have to be a mystery anymore. You can believe and know what's going to happen to you when you pass from this earth. And that is, I get to enter eternity in heaven with my Heavenly Father. If that's you today, and you don't know Jesus, that fear can't be alleviated for you. But if you want to know Jesus, I can introduce you to him, and that fear will disappear in your life. So I'm going to say a prayer from up here. If you're watching online, I want you to say this prayer with me. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know where you're going, what's going to happen to you when you die, you can know it today. If you're in the congregation here today and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life so you know what's going to happen when you die, I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Father God, I come before you today a sinner, but I believe that Jesus is your Son, and I believe that you raised him from the dead, and I believe that he is Lord of all. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer with me this morning, the Bible says you're a new person. Why can the fear pass away from you? Because you're not the same person that walked in the doors or the same person that logged on this morning. You're a different person.